question. The phone lines are open, 416-872-1010, or text us at 71010. And as always, I can promise my listeners one thing. If you care about your pet, then I'll care. What the heck? How come I just forgot that line? If you care enough to call in, then I'll care about your pet and give you the very best medicine I can deliver.
Now, what seems to be the problem? You can tell me. I'm a vet, you know.
Oh, boy. That's how we like to start the show. Actually, no. I like to start it where I remember my intro better. Okay. My goodness. How much do I say that? You never know. Okay. Let's talk about this. You know what? I'm going to ask for help. This is what I want today. For anybody that is out there listening to me, my loyal listenership, I'm going to ask you for help because I'm confused by something. I am not a horse person, okay? I didn't grow up with them. I'm not, you know, I don't really like saying this. I love all animals, but I guess the least that I, you know, my love for animals runs pretty deep. But, you know, probably the species that is lower on the list is the horses. And you know what? I think it's because, you know, I'm a little afraid of them. They're very big. I've had to work with them. I've had to treat them. I've had to just sort of move around them and things like that. Just like I saw with some colleagues in school, they never handled cats. You know, and cats, you can be really, cats can really hurt you. So I saw a couple classmates that, you know, pretty much had never restrained or held a cat. And they were just absolutely terrified of them. They were the horse people. And I just, there's some parts that I don't get. There was a story that came out. And here's the title. Just the other day, it's, you know, Churchill Downs suspending races after 12 horses die. Okay, so they're, you know, it's that time of year where people who are passionate about horses are racing them again. And that's always kind of strange, right? If you're passionate about animals, there's, you know, I like dogs, so I like to, you know, walk them and pet them and lie beside them and stuff. You know, taking them out and racing them, that's not exactly how I demonstrate my passion or love for the animals that I like in my life. You know, I don't ride around on my pets. You know, that'd be strange, right? I mean, I love my kids and everything, but I don't make them carry me around the neighborhood. You know, that's not how I express my love and passion for the kids. So I'm not sure I understand when it comes to the horse people. But here's the story. In the wake of 12 horse deaths at Churchill Downs, the racetrack best known for hosting the annual Kentucky Derby says it will suspend racing as a precaution. Just a precaution, you know, a bunch of horses just die. Churchill Downs, Inc., which owns the Louisville-based track, says remaining meets will be moved to Ellis Park Racing and Gaming. We had a bunch of horses die, so let's just race them over here then. Like, let's keep racing them, but let's race them over here. That'll help, right? Located in Henderson, Kentucky, says transitioning spring meet races will begin June 7th. Since the unusual number of horse deaths at the racetrack. Let me just say that again. Since the unusual number of horse deaths at the racetrack. So, you know what that means? It means that, well, this number's a little higher than the normal number of horse deaths that we would see at this time. You know, it's double. Okay, let's move over here because we actually are not sure why they're dying. And that's exactly what's going on. Churchill conducted an inspection and jointly announced new safety measures with the Horse Racing Integrity and Safety Authority. The Horse Racing Integrity and Safety Authority. I don't know how much of a good job they're doing. I'm not that big a fan of horses, but still I think they shouldn't be dying like that. Maybe this authority group aren't doing their job that well if 12 deaths is unusual, but 6 is acceptable. I mean, what is going on here? What has happened at our track is deeply upsetting and absolutely unacceptable. How upsetting is it if there's just a few more deaths? We're like, you know, we're a little bit upset. My goodness. CEO Bill Carstangen said in a statement, despite our best efforts to identify a cause for the recent horse injuries, and though no issues have been linked to our racing surfaces or environment at Churchill Downs, we need to take more time to conduct a top-to-bottom review of all of the details and circumstances so that we can further strengthen our surface safety and integrity protocols. Top to bottom review. Okay, so they need more time to conduct a top-to-bottom review of all the details of circumstances. Here's one. If I showed up there and I was doing that top-to-bottom review, I want to review all of the details and circumstances. I guess the first thing is I sit all the horse people down and I say, what's wrong with you? What's going on here? Like, that's before I get to the surfaces or the heat or how they're handled. I just kind of sit down the horse people and I'd say, who here likes to see him die and not die, okay? And why are you doing this, okay? That's what I really worry about that. I just don't understand. A Kentucky Horse Racing Commission representative told them that Churchill Downs requested the move out of an abundance of caution, and that the commission's working with both CDI and HISA to investigate the fatalities. Until racetracks install synthetic surfaces and utilize CT scanning equipment to detect injuries, among other improvements, they can't pretend to be mystified by fatalities. Track officials say they will continue to thoroughly investigate safety measures while they keep racing horses at the other park. Oh, good. All right. Well, that's good. As long as they keep racing them, you know, because I love horses. I want to see them race and, you know, listen. Now, here's the other thing. You know, if you're a couple guys and you're like racing horses around, you're in charge of this, you know, let's keep racing them, okay? But if one of them trips and hurts its leg, really, you know, we could spend the next like 6 months mending the leg, you know, retire the horse somewhere. You know what, Rick, that sounds like a lot of work. Let's just shoot them. Okay, that's a good plan. But now, what's going on there, okay? There are just so many things about the horse world that I don't understand. And I get it. There's a lot of history, you know. I mean, I understand, right? But some of these things, that where do they come from, right? I mean, who was the guy who was like, you know, hanging out, you know, I don't know when, maybe back in the 1700s or something? I mean, I'm not sure about my horse history, but they didn't really have that. But who's the guy who saw a horse walking by him and thinking, you know, said to his buddy, hey, you know what I just figured out? If we take that horse and we melt it down, we might be able to stick stuff together. Let's make him into glue. If I was that guy's friend, I'd be like, huh, is everything okay at home? You know, where's that coming from? And look at that horse over there. He's crazy, man. We'll make him crazy glue. I just don't get it. And I just kind of compare it to animals. I mean, look, we do a lot of, we force dogs into doing a lot of things. Like, you know, sitting with kids in courtrooms when they have to testify about certain things so that they feel supported and loved. You know, kids that are, you know, writing tests now. We're using dogs to, you know, sit with them, reduce stress. You know, if I had a child that was diabetic, I use the dog to help me detect whether its blood sugar is low. I think those are not so bad. You know, I don't get my three dogs strapped up to a platform while I lie on top and, you know, let them carry me to the convenience store so that I can get a bag of chips. I think that's, you know, that is going over the line. So I don't understand. And, okay, this one, I'm sorry, I can't help but think about this. I have seen a lot of horses, okay, not as, you know, I didn't grow up with horses. I did work on a horse farm for a summer. So I've, you know, like I've interacted with horses and I've seen horses. I have never seen a horse out in a field kind of walking around like it's stepping on hot coals, like, you know, ooh, ow, that sort of thing. And I'm saying this because I wonder who, and I still don't know this, who thought of shoes for horses? Why do they need shoes? What other animal has shoes? Horseshoes. And, you know, that doesn't, is it necessary? And, by the way, you know, who thought of the horse's shoes where they get nailed to their feet? I mean, that doesn't sound so good for the horse. The horse would be like, what? You're going to nail them to my feet? Come on. And before we even do that, we're taking his shoes and we're throwing them, you know, we're having a party and we're throwing them around, you know, throwing horseshoes. It's like, give me my shoes back. You know, I just, I don't understand. So, thank you for letting me talk about that. And for anyone who has thoughts about that, okay, well, in all seriousness, just for a sec, I'd like for those out there that do have that passion and did grow up with horses and really love them, you know, send me a text at 71010, and I'm just curious throughout the show. There's no doubt that there's somebody out there that can, you know, sure, I'm making jokes, but clearly there's a love for horses, and I just would want to understand it a little bit better and send me a statement about what they mean to them and where they think this type of passion and interaction point of, you know, yeah, a steeped history of racing them, Calgary Stampede things, I mean, and their deaths there too. I mean, what makes it worth it? That's what I'm kind of asking, and I wouldn't make fun of that. I genuinely want the input. Okay, thanks for letting me do the long intro. We are going to help you out. No horse questions, okay. But dogs and cats, we're going to try to stick to today. When we come back, there'll be your questions. Give us a call, 416-872-1010, and I will help you out. For now, we'll go to commercial break. You're listening to Animal House.
Who let the dogs out?
Get the answers you need now. Contact the show by calling 416-872-1010 or text 71010. You're listening to The Animal House with Dr. Clayton Greenway on News Talk 1010 Toronto.
Welcome back to Animal House. We're having a good time this morning. Thanks for coming along with us. All right, hey, we got some texts in on the horses, some good points to be made, and I want you to keep trying. As I said, keep trying. Here's the first one. Okay, which is a swing and a miss. Here it is. At least we horse owner don't kidnap the newborns and sell them like dog owners do. Wrong. Dog owners, if you look at the number of pet owning dog owners for pets versus breeding, the percentage of the relation of who gets, you know, the number of dogs and the number of them that are bred for purposes of selling the animals versus in the horse world, the percentage of horses kept for breeding, artificial insemination, that sort of thing. I mean, these are very expensive animals. No, you're wrong. You do breed the horses to have the babies, and you take them away and you sell them somewhere. And that's exactly what happens a lot more in the horse world than in the dog world. There's no question when you look at relative terms of the number of animals and the percentage used for breeding and taking the offspring away. So good attempt, swing and a miss, but keep trying. Send me another one. But here's one that really makes sense. I got a text here that solves my whole issue with it, right? Why is it okay that, you know, horse people, you know, do the, you know, use horses in this way? I'm going to read this text word for word. Thoroughbred are bred to be races. They bringing doped. That's a good point. Actually, I'm not sure what the hell that means. But that one, keep going. Let's try it again. They bring in doped. I don't know what that means. Who's doped? I don't think the horses are doped. I think the horse people that are doing these things could be sitting in a little circle getting high, and they may be doped. And they're like, hey, okay, we've had some fun. Now let's go kill some horses by racing them around. You know, I won't admit, you know, we've all dabbled a little bit in having some fun or whatever, but that's not my idea of fun. You know, if I ever did that stuff, I might order Chinese food. I wouldn't go say, okay, race around in a ring. Let's get to the phones. Give us a call, 416-872-1010, and we will help you out. Let's get to the real stuff. Bryce, you've got Heidi, Portuguese water dog, 6 years old. What's going on?
So basically, she's got like a bump on the on her side. It feels like a lipoma. She had one just under her tail near her rectum, and I got that removed, and it was all fine. But now she's got this one on the side. It's not pussing or anything like that. And that's irritating her right now.
Yep.
But, you know, it's ugly and it's, I don't know what has to be done.
So to catch everybody up, you had mentioned the word lipoma. Lipomas are very common. This is a, you know, lump or bump that can grow on our dogs. It's under the skin. It's soft. It's movable. And it's an overgrowth of, you know, a pocket of fat, basically some fat cells that are growing too fast and too rapidly for some reason. Some cells go a little out of control. But it's not cancerous. It doesn't spread. It doesn't threaten the dog's life. It can show up in some unusual places. If it happens between the toes, it can have some pressure or feel funny, the dog starts licking it, now the skin gets irritated. You know, we might remove those because they cause other problems. It's not life-threatening, but it's an irritation and a hit to their quality of life. Maybe like the lipoma under the tail. I have a question for you. Did they test the one under the tail first? Did they confirm it was a lipoma? And what was the reason for removing it?
Well, she was licking close to her rectum, right? And then
okay. She's and did out. That once you did that? Did all the licking back there stop?
Oh yeah, yeah.
All right.
Became normal. Everything stopped. Yeah. Now you mentioned something about it being soft. It's not soft. It's hard, but it's really under the skin.
Yeah. If it grows larger, it starts to get a little more turgid. It could create some more connection. So it can still be a lipoma and be a little harder. But when you say that, you know, at this point now, I'm actually, you know, not as sure, but probably pretty, you know, I would guess that most likely you're dealing with another lipoma. So what we do with any lump or bump, and this goes for all of us, whenever you see something on your dog, I know it's easy to take the approach of wait and see, because look, it's not bothering the dog. It's not that big, grows extremely slowly. Oh, that's been there forever. It's not a real concern. And in a lot of cases, that's okay. The problem is you just never know. The wait and see approach I have seen come back to really shoot us in the foot in a number of cases. So what do? If you ever find a lump or a bump, no matter how certain you could be that it's lipoma, they should all be checked. That's really the gold standard. And the way to do that is you bring your dog into the vet, they take a little needle and they poke it into this mass, and that will collect some cells. Yeah, aspirate it, you put it on the slide, and they tell you what it is. Have you done that with this lump?
No, I didn't, and the only reason why I'm trying to restrict it, because the last time I did it, it really became bad. Like, after the vet aspirated it, she went berserk, and it just became worse.
Okay. There must have been a very significant sense. That must have been sort of skin-related and stuff like that. I will tell you, in all the years of practice, I've never seen irritation from a fine needle aspirate of a lipoma, but I could understand, I will tell you, in all the years of practice, I've actually not seen a lipoma where I've poked it immediately under the tail, from the tail to the anus. That's a very sensitive skin area. Poking that area, I could see that could, you're also taking a dog, you're poking at its back end, it's like got a monkey on its back now, and it could have been really irritated. That's understandable. You shouldn't have that problem again. So that's what I would decide, next time you're in, don't make it an absolute priority, but semi-priority. I would go from there. But I appreciate the call. Good luck with that. And that's great. For anyone else, give us a call, 416-872-1010, and we'll help you out. For anybody else, I mean, this is the reason, is you find out what it is, and then you can, stage it. How serious is this? Do we really need to attack it? You basically decide about the surgical need and surgical intervention need, whether or not you need to do that. Okay, let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Elizabeth. You've got Andy, a 12-year-old Pomeranian. You're worried about the coughing that he's doing.
Yeah, it started maybe about 2 months ago, and it comes and it goes,
Yep.
And can I give him something? I don't know, a little bit of honey with some warm water, or would that help his throat? I'm wondering, will this go away?
Yeah. You know what? I had a friend just tell me the other day that his dog stopped coughing after putting a little bit of apple cider vinegar in the water.
Ooh.
Yeah. Do you know why that worked?
Well, did it act as like an astringent? Is there something there to draw it out?
I have no idea. I'm asking you why that worked.
I don't know
why it worked. I'm not sure. I wonder why. What about a little bit of apple juice? Or
that
maybe just
like
a little
good
bit.
Idea. Yeah.
What about a spoonful of water in that bowl of water? If we put that in there, would that work? I'm not sure. Here's the thing. Have you been to the vet and?
Yes.
Yeah. And what have they said?
Last week and before that.
Did they say it was collapsing trachea?
Yeah, that's the word.
Yeah.
But the other, like, we need to do an X-ray if that's the case.
So well, no, it's not that you do the X-ray if that's the case. You do an X-ray to determine if it is the case,
okay,
like, you know,
yes,
to determine, actually diagnose it. And the other thing is, it's probably what they're thinking otherwise, which is less, which is lower down on the list, is whether it's heart disease. Heart disease would have fluid in the lungs. That would take a very different drug, and actually a pretty cheap drug to remove fluid from the lungs that could solve the coughing. Collapsing trachea, what you usually treat that with is there's something called tracheal elixir. It's a liquid you give your dog. Probably one of the most active ingredients in there is hydrocodone, and what that is it's a cough suppressant. So
okay,
actually, as your dog coughs more, if it is collapsing trachea, as it coughs more, actually, no matter what the reason is, when you have a cough, if you cough more, it irritates the upper airway more, and
yes,
that causes more coughing. So you
yes
got to try to break the cycle with a cough suppressant. So to give something at home, the only remedy I could tell you is, you know, let your dog rest. Not a lot of, you know, panting, running around, exercise that will incite coughing.
Uh-huh.
You know, if they drink water too quick and have coughing at the water bowl, put some ice cubes in it so they slow down.
Yeah.
You know, they don't gulp their water as much. Other than that, I'm not sure why. I'm convinced that my friend, you know, was being honest, that a little bit of apple cider vinegar in the water made the difference. But I've never heard of that. Don't know why.
I don't want to cause any adverse reaction, so
sure,
I'm not one
well,
that will do a lot of things.
It's a natural
like that
product. I just don't understand. I know Clint Eastwood drinks apple cider vinegar to lose weight. That's all I remember. Other than that,
yes,
I'm not sure how that works.
Okay,
but he's pretty thin, so does that mean it works? I'm not sure. But
well,
I appreciate the call.
Monday, I'm going to call. And,
yeah, I see the vet. Do the X-ray.
And we're going to look at
yeah
whether it is the trachea.
Yeah, I'd do the X-ray, and then I'd go forward. I mean, your dog is older.
Okay.
You don't want to go to heroics. I think you're in good shape. I appreciate the call. For anyone else, give us a call, 416-872-1010. You're listening to Animal House.
You ain't nothing but a hound dog.
To interact with veterinarian and pet expert Dr. Clayton Greenway, send your text to 71010.
Welcome back to Animal House. As I always say, listen to the radio and then take the dog for a walk or race that horse. Thanks for listening. If you have a question, give us a call, 416-872-1010, and we will help you out. I just got a call in, and then she dropped off the line, was my daughter Ivy, who does riding. I have to tell you, this is something that brought horses back into my world a little more. I have to tell you, just incredible to watch my daughter learn this skill, get better at it. You know, she's just entered the part of doing a jump or two, and she's very excited. But mostly what it's done for her character, her self-confidence, her poise, her ability to tolerate things at school and get over challenges, all of these things have been built up in her, and I'm very proud of her, and she's blossomed because of it, and it's really quite incredible. So she called in probably because I like to mention these things about horses, and she likes to tell me I'm wrong and that all of that sort of stuff, which is good. So when we go, when I drop her off and all the horses are there, and like, here's the thing, I don't think they're the happiest all the time. I mean, you know, and I can prove it. I mean, they're all there, and you know, otherwise, why the long face? So that's, anyways, okay, let's go back to the phones. You know, you can imagine, Dad, she's a little frustrated with Dad once in a while. Give us a call, 416-872-1010, and we'll help you out. Let's go, oh boy, let's go to Stephanie. You've got Milo, miniature pincher Jack Russell, about 6 or 7. And what's going on with Milo?
Hi. My dog Milo, he's a rescue. Every approximately, I don't know, it's infrequent, about every 3 weeks or so, he rapidly goes crazy with licking. He'll lick the entire floor, lick carpet. If
yep.
I try to redirect him and I take him outside for a walk, he will try to eat everything in sight. And I mean, chomp at trees, chomp at grass, like everything he can get his mouth on, so I'll have to keep his head up. And this will go on for maybe even over an hour or so, and then it'll stop. Only thing I've noticed with him is his tongue has gotten a little bit of blackening, just a tiny bit. He had two black spots on it previously. He still has those, just like almost like little black birthmarks. But there's been a little bit of darkening on his tongue.
Okay, I've got an answer. I've got, you know, some input I'd give you. We're getting feedback on the call, so Adnan, can you just put that one on hold while I do the answer? The quality's not so great. Here's the thing. The pigmentation, not a concern. Pigmentation on the tongue's not a problem, even if it was just darker in general, you know, use of the tongue, stuff like that. No big concern. Here's the thing. There is a condition known as ELS. What is that? Excessive licking syndrome, and it doesn't really tell us, you know, what is the cause, but there are different causes for it. So I will tell you a couple of the common ones. Sometimes if they have a tooth issue or tooth discomfort or an intestinal parasite, they took a lot of dogs and looked at, you know, dogs that excessively licked, and they did all these diagnostic tests. It turned out that some of them had these things, not just some, actually the majority had them, and there was actually a reason that we couldn't really see. In this case, where it's sporadic or happening every couple weeks, I do know that licking and licking of the lips, licking around areas, look, sometimes it's dietary as well. Something's not in their diet. You could try a food supplement, see if that works, but there's going to be some trial and error. The other thing is that type of behavior is also anxiety. It can be anxiety. They'll lick their lips and they'll lick surfaces, you know, so maybe it's a matter of thunderstorm that comes around every 3 to 4 weeks and you're just not pairing them up together, or something's happening in the environment that's causing a little bit of anxiety and that's creating this a little bit excessive licking episodes. So that's what I would say is I don't think you're dealing with something super serious. The causes of excessive licking syndrome have never been fatal causes, but they're it's an identifier that something underneath the surface is going on somewhere. In this case, with a condition like this, it's usually not a serious issue, but it's an ongoing one. So I would talk to your vet about those possibilities, do some parasite testing, good thorough oral exam, look at all the teeth, that sort of thing. General blood work, you know, see if there's any deficiencies, try a food supplement, and then, you know, also watch for this pattern, like maybe a weather pattern is causing some anxiety, you know, that is causing it as well. So I'd leave you with those thoughts. I really appreciate the call. For anybody else, give us a call, 416-872-1010, and we will help you out. I was just looking at the text board. Let's see. Louise, you've got Billy, a 1.5-year-old lab, and you've got something going on here. What's happening?
Hi there. Good morning.
Yeah.
She has two lumps in between her toes in the front on each paws and interdigital cysts.
Yeah. Okay.
Hard.
They're hard?
Yes, they are.
Okay. And what is she doing? Are they bothering her?
Hard to tell. I train her a lot. It doesn't seem to. She licks her paws normally. Doesn't seem to be...
The real time that you would see it is when you're not interacting with her. In fact, sometimes even just leaving the room. That's what's so hard to catch, because it's sometimes, if you're in the room and you train her, all of a sudden she's focused on you. If you're in the room, right? Like she's waiting for cues and stuff like that. Truly, you'd probably have to be out of her vision or sight, and she may be looking at it more. But
she licks her paws like a normal dog would. She doesn't bite at it. She doesn't go in between the toes.
Are they this sort of hard, like lumps or whatever, are they at the top of the space between the toes, or are they deep down in between the toes? Do you know what I mean?
No, they're mostly in the middle.
Okay. So the causes typically are, you know, they can be an infection, that sort of thing. Any other problems? How are her ears?
Yeah, she does have issues with allergies. I'm just waiting to get in.
Oh, for there we go. Allergies. There's the swear words. Don't curse at me like that. Don't curse at me like that. Don't use that word allergies like that. Okay. I'm not. Okay. Don't use that ignorant word to put me down. Yeah. Stop it. Okay. I really don't. Most people would that listen, they understand I hate that word. So the thing is we don't know yet. Here's a good question. One ear or both ears?
One ear.
There we go, right? It's yeast. You've got interdigital cysts due to yeast. Sure. You've got yeast in the ear.
But she's on apple oil.
How do you know that?
How do I know what?
That she's got yeast.
Oh, I've had her tested.
And they said she's got a yeast infection. What treatment is she on?
She's had yeast.
Okay.
If it comes back or not, I'm assuming it is. I have solid.
Oh, it's there. No, it hasn't gone away yet. I'll just tell you, it hasn't gone away yet. What have you treated?
I think it's going to be there all the time.
Yeah. What have you treated the? No, it won't. We can just fix it. We can just make it go away. But you swore at me with the word allergies, so now we're screwed. That's why. If your vet's throwing around the word allergies, yep, he's basically he or she is keeping that yeast there. How has your vet treated the yeast?
It's got the drops of, I believe it's called Sollergen, something
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, for how long? What's the longest duration that you've used it for?
We start with the 7 days.
Yep.
And I have leftover.
Bingo. Your dog has yeast and it hasn't been cured yet, period. I don't care about allergies. Don't talk to me about allergies. Don't use medication for allergies. Get rid of the yeast first. Get rid of the yeast first before you talk about that. So it's still there. I guarantee you.
Okay.
Even though the year doesn't seem that bad, it's there. How many bottles of this stuff have you bought?
I have one new one and I have
over the history of, your dog's life.
Well, she's a year and a half. I've had a bottle and a half.
Okay. You're going to keep buying them otherwise. So they've got a good thing going there. They've hooked you. You're hooked. So drug dealers do the same thing. So I would, get rid of the yeast. Don't use those drops. Don't use that stuff. Get them to call a compounding pharmacy. Put an antifungal agent in a compounded drug, not one with a label that comes off a shelf in a pretty bottle or whatever. Have it directly made for your dog. Do an ear culture and sensitivity. Grow everything that's in the ear and then call that pharmacy and have them create a specific medication for your dog. Do not treat it for any less than a month to get rid of the yeast and even consider oral medication. If that doesn't work, don't relent. Don't stop doing re-examinations until it's solved. I'll leave you with that. When we come back, more of your questions. You're listening to Animal House.
Dr. Clayton Greenway. Send your text to 71010.
Welcome back to Animal House. Thanks for listening. I wouldn't be anywhere without my listenership. I really appreciate it. Give us a call. There are a couple lines open. If you call right now, I can absolutely take the question. 416-872-1010, and we will help you out. Whenever I say that, that means that there's only one or two calls with questions right now. That's actually extremely rare. I'm one of these very lucky guys who typically all the calls are full, and when one drops off, one pops in. And I can't tell you how much I appreciate that. And it's funny because when I started, it didn't happen like that immediately, but pretty quickly. But that's when I really needed it because I was terrified. Nowadays, if all of a sudden I have nothing sitting there, I can talk about lots of stuff out of nowhere. And in fact, sometimes that makes even for a better show if I share, some case that I had that was really strange, that sort of thing. So give us a call and I'll take your question, 416-872-1010. But let's go to the phones. This one is tough. I'm a little intimidated by this question. Cheryl, you've got a four-year-old bulldog. Can you tell everybody what's going on?
I have a four-year-old. Hi.
Thanks
for taking my call. So we have a four-year-old bulldog. She's a rescue. Our understanding is that she was a stray, so we don't really know much about her history. But we have a cottage that we go up to every weekend. And when we get there, she doesn't want to get out of the car. And then so she'll sit in there. We'll leave the door open. She'll sit in there for like half an hour. And then she gets out, and then we are calling her to come in the cottage, and she barks at us like crazy. And then finally she comes into the cottage, and she's totally happy and everything. But then she doesn't want to come out of the cottage. And then when she sees that we start packing up the car, she's crazy trying to get in the car.
Oh, okay. At first I didn't, it says here, rescue dog, when they go to cottage, she doesn't want to leave the car. I thought, okay, that's a little tough to explain. Now I get it. I have a pretty decent understanding. The thing that, you know what I also really like, is this starts off as rescue dog. Do you know why it says rescue dog?
Because of her behavior.
Yeah, that's why. It's like, well, my dog's a rescue dog, so something happened to it before, right?
Right.
No,
right.
It's not true. By the way, every dog is a rescue. Okay, whenever you open the door and the dog's running around out there, if you open it again, you're rescuing your dog. Like, for real. I'm not joking, really. I've never been a fan, I'll just tell you, I've never been a fan of the rescue dog comment. I mean, it's a catch-all to say there's a behavior problem that somebody else caused. You could replace the words like that. And that's usually where I hear the word rescue dog. Anyways, what's happening is there was some interaction at some point you may or may not know of that happened outside the cottage that really spooked your dog or scared it, whether it's stepping on, you know, pine needles and they're irritating, or there was a certain noise that when you first took the dog to the cottage. I'm guessing, I could be wrong, but I'm guessing that the first time the dog was at the cottage was past the age of maybe 8 months, 9 months.
Yeah, I mean, they think she's about 2 when we got her. And to be honest, when we first came to the cottage the first time, she didn't want to ever get back in the car.
Yeah, do you know? Yeah, yeah. This is the thing. She wasn't socialized to that environment, right? So it was a brand new environment to her.
Yeah.
Sure, then she's outside. Something happened that scared her. It's kind of like, I remember seeing, coming across a picture on the internet where there's this dog. No one would have known this. This dog is standing in the living room on a carpet, and it's at the entrance to sort of the kitchen, the alcove to the kitchen, and the kitchen is hardwood flooring. And this picture's taken from somewhere deep in the kitchen and looking at the dog, and the dog's face is looking at them or whatever. I know exactly what's going on there. The dog is actually not wanting to step on the hardwood floor because here's what happens. When your dog, you know, and people will know this at home and it'll explain certain behaviors, but they won't want, the dog was a little older. I'm like, well, it's a little arthritic. I knew that picture had to do with the dog not wanting to use the hardwood floor. I remember my mother had an arthritic dog, and she put runners down for the dog to walk on. And where the runner would end, there might be like a 3-inch gap of hardwood floor and then the next runner. The dog would go to the end of the runner and then try to kind of leap over this tiny 3-inch gap. That tells you that it's not really how the floor feels or anything. It's what it means to the dog. That floor, the dog slipped and fell on it at some point, but that's not how the dog's experience went. The dog's experience was the floor just came up and bit me.
Oh my gosh.
Right? So they get nervous about that. So something about the cottage environment out there spooked or scared her, and she hasn't forgotten it, and that's typically what happens, and that's it.
Okay.
So how to fix that is very difficult. You could try, you know, treats, things like that, try to change her emotion for when you get there. This stuff, you know what, I will tell you that given the scenario, it's near impossible to do that. So I would still keep taking her, but I'd just move her quick from the car to the cottage, and so she's gonna be in there. But
any her? Like, should we like make her get out of the car stuff?
Not necessarily. It's gonna be anxiety, right? So if she's really uncomfortable, if she's really stressed out, just get her in the cottage quick and don't force it. You could reintroduce her. Right now you're in the cottage. You could slowly kind of, you know, come out to the porch, feed her out there, give her treats out there. She's happier a little bit outside the door of the cottage. You know, you slowly reintroduce her. You might have some success there. But that whatever happened is kind of deeply ingrained, so it could be difficult.
Okay. Well, thank you so much.
No problem. Thanks very much. Have a good summer up there. For anybody else, give us a call. 416-872-1010, and I will help you out. Let's go to this one. Lisa, you've got Betsy, a two-year-old. What's going on? What's your question?
My question is, I just adopted her a month and a half ago, and I'm just confused about the grain and non-grain food because my last dog died of the heart problem, and I'm concerned. I don't know what dog food to choose.
And what have you been told?
Well, I've read all, like, both sides. So she came with salmon and no grain, but I was wondering, then I read that maybe if she didn't get grain, it would damage her heart. And so
That's been totally debunked. Some vets aren't. It's amazing to me. There's a lot of vets who still don't know that that's been totally debunked. That was a matter of just trying to get people off of anti-allergy, like so much allergy-related stuff about grains. That was an anti-campaign to do that. They never released what breed of dogs that study was about all this stuff. It was completely it was just crap. So there's nothing to it.
So she should just eat what she likes, or it doesn't matter?
What I would say is this, is when people talk about the food, what's the best food to feed my dog? Here's the answer that I give. If anyone tells you an answer, that's someone to never listen to again. And I mean because they don't know your dog, right? So any food, like, we don't know what the best food for your dog is. What food is it's a trial every time. You do a new food, you get onto it slowly, and then you watch them and how they do with it. How are they eating it? Are they itchy? How are their poops? How's their fur? How's their skin? That sort of thing. At a wellness check, you know, how's their blood work? And that's it. That's how you determine that it's a good food. If all those things click those boxes, then you're on a good food. And it's the end of the show. I'd leave you with that. Thanks for the good question. It's always good to remind pet owners about that and what is the best diet. Thanks for your calls, guys. If I didn't get to your question, give me a call next time right when I do my intro, and I will answer your questions. Be good to your pets.
Dogs and cats living together. Mass hysteria.